This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy.
Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal.
Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online.
Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both.
See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Welcome to Revive Her, a transformative space where we break down walls to unearth the incredible power that lies within every woman. We're your hosts, Haley and Noel.
Dive into candid conversations about entrepreneurship, faith, and relationships, and the journeys that define us. Are you ready?
Oh, welcome back, guys. We've given you episodes every week, but it's been so long since we recorded because we've done a few throwbacks. We needed a break. We needed to just fill our cup. So you guys haven't felt the shift, but we have not been in the studio for a bit. So how are you feeling, Noel?
I feel like I'm in a completely different season of life since I saw you
Same. And I can't wait to like just dive in. I feel like what we're talking about today is the season of life I've been in heavily. And I feel like we just don't talk about this enough. So we're going to cover today, like how to effectively struggle as a Christian. And what we mean by that is the Bible is not a set of rules. There's so many non-Christians and even Christians that think the Bible is a set of black and white rules. Mm-hmm. And honey, it ain't that.
No, because if you read it, I don't know, like there's been times I've read it, I'm like, these people are jacked up.
And I'm like, what does this mean?
Yeah, I'm like, these people are doing things I had never done. I think people pick and choose out of the Bible like what they want to believe and apply to their life, and you know, it's not very clear.
No, and there's a lot of times that the Bible doesn't give a clear answer, and it makes, or for me, and I know for a lot of other Christians, it makes life hard. And there are times scripture is clear. Like there are some black and white things in there, but it's not a list of rules, because if the Bible was a list of rules, then we wouldn't have a need for Jesus. If we had this script that we could always follow and check boxes, like, why do we even need the Lord? Because we have this script. We know exactly what to do. We know exactly what not to do. So it takes out the need for us to go to Jesus and struggle and be like, God, like, what do I do with this decision? Do you know what I mean?
I think even as a Christian, it's so easy to find yourself in that gray area.
Yes.
And I have been in that gray area a lot where I'm like, is this right or is this wrong? And then you pray and you don't feel anything and you're like, okay, well, maybe it's not wrong or maybe it is wrong. Like you genuinely don't know. And something I've always clinged to is that my convictions aren't your convictions.
Exactly.
And that your convictions aren't mine. And I could do something that you do and feel convicted for, but I don't have anything tied to that. Right. Like it doesn't bring out a part of me that maybe isn't healed, or it doesn't bring out those like past traumas and demons and things like that. And so I've seen that happen too, where I'm like, man, why do they do certain things and they get off with it? You know, they get by with it. And then I do it and it's like, I feel convicted to my core.
Yeah. You have to constantly ask yourself, like, is this sinful? Is this honoring God? Is this bringing God glory? And that's going to be different for everyone. And that's like, I like that you called it gray areas, because so much is a gray area. So like, let's dive into that, because I'm sure even what you're going to say is going to be different than what I say. While what one person thinks is okay is not what I think is okay. I see that all the time. And then, then like vice versa. So like, what do you struggle with? Like, what are these things that are gray areas for you that you have to constantly be like, okay, is this right? Is this not right? Like, God, what do I do with this?
Well, first I want to say, working on social media, people judge you.
Yeah.
And so when people judge me for things that I have not felt convicted over, it does put me in that gray area of like, okay, wait, is this right or wrong? Like, I can think of an instance, which may sound so silly, but like, I took Sailor to see Wicked. Like, she loves Wicked. Yeah. The kid could sing every song in Wicked, you know? And she's like, I want to go to Broadway and see Wicked. And you know, you would not believe the amount of people who judged me for taking her to Wicked. Yeah. And, you know, I'm like, I don't feel anything. It's witches. Yeah, growing up, I would, my mama would have been like, you're not watching a witch movie. You know, but like me as a mom, I watched Wicked and I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel any way. I took her. I didn't feel any way other than joy. Yeah. And so it's like, for me, I have to base those convictions on me. Like, God, is this right? Is it, even on the way to the movie, I was praying like, Lord, is this the right thing? Like, is this the wrong thing? Like, give me a new perspective. And it's like, I didn't feel anything. Yeah. And so I think social media judgment can really put you in that gray area. But like, for me, I think of in the past shopping. Like, I struggled with a shopping addiction for a long time. And it wasn't the addiction of the stuff. It was the addiction of that fulfillment, just like looking for an external fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And even last night, I got a massive Shein package. And Drew was like, because I don't shop anymore. Yeah. I genuinely don't. And he's like, what did you get? You know, like, he was excited that I actually bought stuff because I have nothing that fits me in my closet. Yeah. But I'm like, I bought some clothes, you know, and I did feel that like excitement again. Yeah. But I didn't feel that. I wasn't trying to fulfill a need. Yeah. I just genuinely needed
the
clothes.
The heart intention was different this time.
Yeah. So that's a biggie, like shopping, even for my kids, like getting them everything they want. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a trauma response of growing up without a dad or growing up and not having. And so that's something. One of the biggest for me is like the things I enjoy consuming.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I do get checked by the Holy Spirit on that. Like, I'll send Drew reels, like spicy, funny reels. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh gosh, should I have done that? You know, or like, I'll find myself literally laughing my butt off at a reel on my couch. And I'm like, oh, that probably wasn't that funny, you know, but it's like, I genuinely enjoy consuming it, and it might be crude or like vulgar. And I'm just like, is that honoring to God?
Yeah.
You know?
That's a big one for me that I like lately when I said earlier that I'm in this season of like really questioning, like, okay, is this right? Am I glorifying God? Because I read 78 books last year. I have this app, StoryGraph. If you're a reader, get it. It's like the best app ever. You get to track your reading. Like, oh, it's just really cool. But I was looking through and I read 78 books last year, and not all of them, but I would say 90% of them were like psychological thrillers, like crime. Yeah. Like, I love that stuff. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, like this last month, like, I feel like I'm having a conviction. Like, that whole year I've totally felt fine with it. Yeah. Zero conviction. Didn't think it was wrong. And I'm not saying it is wrong, but this last month, I'm like, I've been in a reading slump. I'm like, I don't want to fill myself with that right now. Like, it, for some reason, it's just like God gave me this revelation of like, this isn't bringing you closer to me.
Yeah.
Why do you want to consume this type of content and like true crime shows? Like, I love binging all the true crime.
Yes,
like, I love it. And then here lately, like I said, the last month, it's like, it makes me feel icky. Like, I tried to start another true crime show a few weeks ago and I was like, this just doesn't make me feel good. Like, it was like a blinders came off or something. I was like, man, this just isn't honoring to God. Like, why do I want to watch someone suffer? Like, why am I getting enjoyment and pleasure out of like seeing these things being acted out? And I'm like, this just, and I'm not, if you love it, I was there. Like, I'm not saying it's wrong and I'll probably watch it again at some point. But for right now, I had that conviction of God, I don't know if this is right for me right now. Like, I don't, this isn't bringing me closer to you. In fact, I think it might be, you know, taking me away from you.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned true crime, because lately I've been open and honest about my battle with anxiety. And I have noticed that true crime makes my anxiety worse.
Yes. I've had a spike in like more anxiety lately, and I had the flu for like 4 freaking weeks. So like, I know I wasn't like feeling the best either, but I experienced that. I was like, I was feeling more anxious about things. The way I was thinking, processing things was different. And it's just like, okay, like, what is contributing to this? And so I love that you bring that point out.
I was getting my nails done 2 days ago and they were actually playing like the ID Network or something in the background. And I found myself, my nails are like a time when I want to relax, and I couldn't. I felt so tense. Like, I was on the verge of a panic attack where I was like, I gotta get out of here, because it was like that was blaring so loudly. It messes with me. And I have enjoyed it in the past, but now it's like the devil uses it.
Yeah.
Like, what if that was your kids? Yeah, or like, what if that was you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I've never killed anybody. But then it's like, oh my gosh, what if it was me? Like, what if I was going to jail? You know, and then you start feeling all these feelings and it's like, over nothing, over a door that you have opened in your life.
Satan a foothold. Yeah. And again, it goes back to, I think it's Romans 7, where Paul's talking about, like, it's sin for you to do something that you know you shouldn't do. Or yeah. like, if you know something is right and you don't choose to do the right thing, like, that's sin.
Yeah.
But that's what where it comes back to. It's this gray area of, like, it's going to be different for everybody. Like, mm-hmm. I was saying the whole year last year, I did not feel convicted. I didn't feel wrong. It wasn't affecting me. But then all of a sudden it was.
Yes.
So then it became wrong for right. me in that moment. So what are some other things that you struggle?
I would say gossip. I think that's something all women probably could say. And like, okay, the fine line of when this is not okay yeah. and this is okay. And I know they always say, like, well, if it changes someone else's thoughts of someone, it's wrong. But yeah. like, where is that? Like, where yeah. is that line drawn? Yeah. You know, especially when you are going through things and mm-hmm. we're women. And even when you're working with other women, like, you're going to have issues. Oh, and yeah. it's like, when do you draw the line? But then also it's a struggle because I'm really bad to, like, let things sit on my chest mm-hmm. and just build and build and build. Yeah. And then I combust and everyone's like, oh my gosh, what's yeah. wrong? You're crazy. Like, yeah. this girl's nuts. Knowing when to hold it in and knowing, like, when it's okay to talk about, like, what yeah. you're going through and who, because I think we all need a covering, a mm-hmm. safe space. And a lot of times it's poor Drew and he's like more invested in my drama than I am. But it's like just knowing that fine line of when it's too much and yeah. when it is considered, you know, true gossip. I think that's hard. Another one for me is like submitting to my husband. And I think that's a biblical principle that a lot of women struggle with. Like, I think of, I have a friend, her name is Christine, and she's actually built a brand on submitting to her husband.
Ooh.
And she gives like biblical truth of submission and what it looks like. And that has challenged me because yeah. I'm like, ooh, like I don't have that. Like yeah. I'm not doing that. And so that's something I struggle with in my marriage, is definitely like submission yeah. and letting go of control.
Well, and there's this whole modern femininity or like this modern feminist movement that's going on. Mm-hmm. And it's all obviously all about empowering women. And I've said this before on the podcast, I'm not really a feminist. Yeah. I fully, like, I will go in that kitchen and make you a sandwich. Like, I'm not for yeah. this like feminist movement. Right. Like, yes, women are incredible. We're powerful. Like, we can do things that men can't, or we can do some things better than men. But like, God made the balance of man yeah. and woman for a reason.
Right.
God made the man the head of the house for a specific reason. And mm-hmm. this modern movement of this feminist movement, it goes against like biblical yeah. scripture. And yeah. we think that, oh, no man can tell me what to do. Like, I like yes. if your husband has a problem with you, let's say shopping, like if Drew had a problem with you shopping mm-hmm. a certain amount during your shopping addiction, modern woman would be like, no, you do what you want. This is your money. Yeah. You know what yeah. I mean?
Right.
And it's just not biblical.
Yeah, I think it's a struggle and it's a gray area mm-hmm. of like, okay, what is too much?
Yeah,
because you're not going to control me. Mm-hmm. But also, like, I do want to go to him more. And you know that viral TikTok that was like the women telling their husbands, I can't pay the mortgage this yes. month? Okay, so I couldn't do that to Drew, because if I told him that, he would be like, oh my gosh, like, he doesn't know the loan service yeah. provider. He doesn't know the login. Like, he yeah. doesn't. And it's like certain things like that, I have to do because I know that that's not his strength.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's very level headed and things like that. But when it comes to responsible, I'm like, I'm definitely more responsible than yeah. he is. So it's like, what is that fine line? And then it's like, is that a sin that I pay my mortgage?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, it gets in your head. So yeah. I feel like there's so many. I can think of so many, even within myself, like being abrasive. I can be very straightforward.
Yeah.
I can be very abrasive. Like, what I say can yeah. sound a way that I didn't mean it at all.
Yeah.
And so thinking before I speak, mm-hmm. cursing, this is a big one that I struggle with. Yeah. The people that I surround myself with, mm-hmm. cursing gets on my nerves.
Yeah.
And I've really worked through it, because I used to have the worst potty mouth. Like, I used to cuss and I didn't even know I was cussing.
It's just so funny, 'cause like, I mean, we've known each other since high school, but we weren't friends until adulthood. So I can fully see little high school Noelle cussing, but yeah. like the Noelle that I know now, like I cannot see that at all.
I know.
And that is a gray area for
yeah.
a lot of people. Like, I think it's in Ephesians where it talks about like, let there be no, and I'm sure in Proverbs, there's tons of wisdom in Proverbs, but it says, let there be no foul language come forth.
Yeah.
Only, I think, wise words. Look that up. I'm not sure that mm-hmm. I'm saying that properly, but for me, I've never fully struggled with like, oh, should I cuss? Should I not cuss? Because I've just never been
yeah.
someone that cusses. Like, yeah. I think it's profane. I think it's foul. I think it's a sin? No. But do I think it glorifies the Lord? Absolutely not. Right. Do I think it edifies your spirit? Absolutely not. Yeah. Do I think it can pull you away from the Lord? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So for me, I don't use words like that. I just don't. I don't think it's feminine. I don't think it's classy.
Yeah.
But I have friends that I really respect their walk with God. And I know that they have a heart for the Lord. I know that they are good Christian people, but they have foul mouths.
Yeah.
And so like for me, the struggle is judgment, or used to be. I don't feel like I'm in that spot anymore, but it used to be judgment of, oof, man, they're not really that great of a Christian if they're cussing that much.
Yeah. And I think I look at cursing almost like a drug addiction in a way, because it's like you're
hard to stop.
Yeah, you're constantly recovering, and you're constantly like, you have to be aware, because when you are a cusser, it's like it comes out of your mouth before you even know it. And like even me, I have to really be intentional. If I like last night I got in the car and I hit my head on the side of the car and like my first instinct was to cuss.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you really have to, like, even today I have to like be intentional when I'm mad or when I'm upset, because it's like, it's something you're constantly, I feel like, and you know, your older Christians in church are going to be like, if you have the Lord in your heart, a cuss word will never flow from your lips. And it's not true.
Yeah.
It is not true, especially when you've battled that. And so, but it is something that I notice more now that I don't do it. It's like, it makes me cringe, and I don't want to be like that. Yeah. I want to just be like,
and that's your conviction, and that's my conviction. But like I said, there's Christians that they let it rip. They don't have that conviction. They don't feel, they're like, I know my heart. I know my relationship with the Lord. And that's just, again, that's something you have to work out for yourself. Like ask yourself, like, is this glorifying to God? And you're like, or you know, is this bringing me closer to him? Is this sinful? Da, da, da. Like you have to just let God speak to you in that moment for yourself. Another thing is like what we wear. I went through a phase of wearing crop tops when I was a little bit slimmer than I am now.
Well, everything's crop these days. Yeah, so good luck.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Finding a full shirt.
Anything. And at the time, I had zero conviction about it. Like my dad hated it. Oh my gosh. He hated it, but I didn't have any conviction. Oh, but what I will say, like looking back, it's like, man, I wasn't as close to the Lord then as I was now. Like, I'm not saying I was far, but my convictions are different now. Like I can feel that God has just, I've been in just this season of revelation of his word. And like, I feel truly in relationship with him.
Yeah.
Whereas before I thought I had a relationship, and I did to an extent, but I just wasn't as close as I am now. And like, would I wear a crop top now? No. One, because I don't feel like I'd be very sexy in it. But two, it's just like, it just doesn't feel right. Yeah. Right now for me. But there's a lot of people who are like, it's fine. Like there's so many women that wear crop tops.
Yeah, I never think twice about a woman in a crop top.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just don't. I mean, I don't personally, I might wear a crop top, but honey, my pants gonna meet it because I can't have all this hanging out. But it's like, I don't ever see a woman in a crop top. Like even when you were in your crop top era, I never was like, oh my gosh, Haley's wearing crop tops. Yeah. Like I never, ever even thought about it. So it's just funny how things work. Like for me, I can relate to that, like posting selfies.
Yeah.
My job is posting selfies. And then there are times I'm like, man, is this vain? Like, do people see me and view me as vain? And I have to check myself, like, where's your heart in that? Are you being vain? Like, or are you genuinely making an impact? Are you genuinely sharing from a good place? But it is a gray area of like, okay, I'm this social media quote unquote influencer, which I hate that quote, or I hate that like
title,
but you are, and that is your job. And that is how I feed my family. It is how I provide. So it's like,
it
it's
goes
a
back
struggle.
To your heart posture.
Yeah,
it's are you struggle. Posting for your job, or are you posting for the approval of man? And like one thing that I don't struggle, this has always been a very clear line for me, is like bikini pictures. I will absolutely never post a picture in a bikini and a bra in anything that shows my body too much, because I believe my body is not for the pleasure of other people.
Yeah.
Whether I was single or not, it's especially because I'm married. My body is for my husband. But even if I was single, like even maybe I did in high school, I don't know. But as an adult, like I don't post bikini pictures, because that's my own personal conviction is like, if I did, I 100% would be posting because I want you to think I'm pretty. I want you to look at my body. And I don't want that kind of attention.
Yeah.
And this seems a little harsh, but it's how I feel. It's how I believe. If you're posting bikini pictures all the time, or like the OnlyFans girls, like you need attention. There's something going on in your heart.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. You know, you're totally welcome to disagree with me, but if you're constantly posting your body on social media, there's something missing in you.
Yeah.
And you're doing it for attention, and you might say you're not, but I challenge you to take a step back and be like, why? Because why else post it?
Yeah, especially when it's vulgar. But then I also, I follow people who they are on like weight loss journeys, mm-hmm. and I follow people who are like body positivity, and mm-hmm. they're like, and they're all about it. And I'm like, you know, when I look at them, I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
But then I'll be scrolling. I'm like, oh my gosh, girl, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just, it's all about your intention behind it.
And again, and it comes down to your personal conviction. Yeah. There's going to be people that hear what I just said and completely disagree with that. Mm-hmm. But for me, you'll never catch me doing that because I don't feel that it's right. And then alcohol is a huge thing that I don't currently struggle with it, but I grew up, alcohol is a sin.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You are,
same.
You cannot touch it. It is absolutely sinful. I had a lot of judgment around it. And until about 6 years ago, 6 years ago, I'd say is when I was like, okay, I'm going to read scripture for myself instead of like, I grew up with this belief because it's what I was told.
A tradition.
Yeah. So what do I think scripture says? Like, to me, it's clear that it says drunkenness is a sin. Yes. That is black and white for me. I think, not for me, it's black and white. The scripture says,
For everyone.
You go to scripture, like, I don't care who you are, drunkenness is a sin. However, it's not a sin from how I read and interpret scripture to have a glass of wine.
Right.
Now, do I drink? I don't enjoy it. I don't like the taste of alcohol. Mm-hmm. I don't really like how it makes me feel, but I don't think it's a sin if you want to have a beer, if you want to have a glass of wine. I think that's my conviction of like, I think that's okay. That's a gray area. Yeah. But when it crosses the line into drunkenness, that's mm-hmm. black and white in scripture.
Oh yeah. And I mean, that goes back to when I'm reading my Bible and I'm like, man, these people are crazy too.
Yeah.
Like they're drinking every day, you know? And so it is a gray area, but I know for me in alcohol, I have struggled with alcohol before. And so I'm just now at a point in my life at 30, almost 34 years old, mm-hmm. that I could go to a restaurant and have a glass of wine mm-hmm. or a mixed drink or whatever and not feel like I need to binge it.
Yeah.
But I never pushed it because I always knew in different seasons of my life that it was a crutch mm-hmm. and that I was never just drinking socially. Mm-hmm. I was drinking on a mission. And so I still to this day though, I don't tempt it. Like I don't, if I have a drink, it's very, very rare.
Yeah.
Like rare. You will very rarely see me with a glass of champagne or something, maybe if it's like a celebration. But it's just something that I don't enjoy. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I used to really enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, like I used to love alcohol. I used to love how alcohol made me feel. Mm-hmm. And I got into this season, and I've shared this testimony before, where I felt like that I wasn't enough on my own.
Yeah.
That I was only fun when I was drunk, or I was only likable when I was drunk, mm-hmm. or I was only approachable and like friendly when I was drunk. And it was like, it became my identity of, mm-hmm. okay, if I'm going out with people, I need to be drunk or they're not going to like me because I'm quiet and reserved into myself, like naturally, and embracing that that's who God made me to be, mm-hmm. that it's okay that I'm quiet. It's okay that I'm more on that introverted side, but not to use it as a crutch. And so that's why for me, like alcohol is something that I'm sensitive to. Mm-hmm. I don't feel a conviction about alcohol anymore like I used to. Mm-hmm. And I do believe it's because I have healed from that. Like I have done some serious inner healing when it comes to alcohol.
And then there's this whole, the Bible talks about like being a witness and a light for others and like letting your light shine. Mm-hmm. I think there are moments, even though, like I just said, I think it's black and white, drunkenness is a sin. I don't think having a drink here and there is a sin. However, if I am with a group of people who are not Christian, who maybe are interested in learning more or they're struggling, like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm trying to witness to them and I'm like, gosh, like they wanted to have a drink or something.
Yeah.
Gosh, should I have a drink with them? Like, should I order a glass of wine or should I abstain? Like, I'm not really sure. Like, I want to be a good witness. Like, I don't want to confuse them because they're on this journey of mm-hmm. trying to learn who Jesus is. If I don't know in the moment, and I'm just using alcohol as an example of anything. If I'm questioning, like, should I do this? Should I not? Is this okay? Like, I'm not really sure, God. If I continue and go ahead and do whatever that is, to me, I think I will be stepping into sin because I don't have that that clarity. There'll be times where you're asking God, like, is this okay? I'm not sure. And then he gives you an answer. You get a peace in your heart one way or another.
Right.
But then if you don't know what is right, or if you do know what is right and you don't do that, like the scripture is clear, like that is sin for you. Mm-hmm. So there's been many times where I'm like, oh gosh, I don't really know what the answer is here. Like, God, I'm reading your scripture. It's still not clear to me. And I ultimately decide not to partake in whatever it is or do whatever it is because I don't have clarity. And it's a conviction. If you're questioning it, God's bringing that conviction up to you. So if you have that conviction, then to me, it is sin if you continue with X, Y, Z, whatever it is.
Yeah, it can hurt your witness. I feel like all of that. Mm-hmm. It can hurt your light and your witness, but it is a gray area. And then there's this struggle of like, am I going to fit in? Am I going to look weird? Yeah. Because it's so easy for people to just look at you. And I have, especially in the industry that I work in, because on trips and things like that, like it's always not so much now, but previously it used to be in my face, like 24/7. And when you're battling already, like you want it, you want it. You're like, I want to be out there with y'all acting crazy. But like when it's in your face, it's so hard to say no. Like it's so hard. But I think that it can hurt your witness. And then it's so easy for people to say like, why don't you drink? Why are you not drinking? Right. Yeah. It's like, it's so easy for people to ask you that versus like, why, what, what's your story? Mm-hmm. You know, like you're not like, you're looked down on because you don't drink in society this day. It's like weird that you don't, that you don't drink.
Yeah. It goes back to like, I'm always wondering like, does this jeopardize my connection with you? Is it somehow offending you, Lord? Instead of focusing on what truly lasts, am I getting tangled up in earthly pursuits? Am I putting you first? And I think if you don't constantly ask yourself those questions when you are in these gray areas, like you can be in danger of what Matthew 5 talks about, like letting your light shine, of that light going out and doing things for validation or for honor, like all of the TikTok videos you see of people giving and giving money to like waitresses, like there's a camera in that person's face and it's like God talks about doing things in secret,
silent.
And not putting these things out there and letting those deeds and good acts be in private. And like, that's like such a pet peeve of mine. I was like, just how does that homeless person feel when you have a freaking iPhone in their face acting like you're such a good person? But it just feels, that's a whole nother tangent. But
yeah,
my point is like, you have to ask, what is honoring you, God? Like, am I in danger of this taking me away from you? So how do we struggle effectively? Like, what are some practical ways that we can walk ourselves through these moments when it's not so black and white?
I think first you need to spend time with Jesus and be intentional about that. Prayer and reading your word, worship, feed your spirit. And I feel like that this is so important. And we overcomplicate it, right? Like I overcomplicate it. I'm like, did we pray for 30 minutes? Did we read for an hour? But sometimes like my best and most impactful worship sessions are in my kitchen. Like I just turn my Alexa on and play worship music. But it's so important because it says he's the vine and we're the branches. Mm-hmm. And John 15 is my favorite. I always go back to that. And it says apart from him, we can do nothing. And so that's how we remain in the vine. That's how we remain connected to the vine is by those things, prayer, spending time with him and having that relationship with him, because that's the most important thing.
Yeah. And I've had to try to get in this habit because it's so easy for life. You just get caught up in life and busyness of waking up and being like, okay, Lord, I'm spending this day with you. Guide me into living in a way that glorifies you, that honors you. Just be with me throughout this day. Like start your day with Jesus. And the second thing you need to do is crucify your flesh. Yeah. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Mm-hmm. So there's so many times we forget to crucify the flesh, or like the flesh feels good. Like we don't want to walk in the spirit because that sin or that flesh is so pleasurable. And that's where you have to like wake up and be like, okay, God, help me crucify my flesh today. Like help me carry my cross. Help me pick up my cross and live for you. And you have to be so intentional to crucify your flesh every moment of the day because we're sinful natured human beings.
Yes. And walk with Jesus daily in all things.
Yes.
And not just on Sunday.
Yes.
Don't just be a Sunday morning Christian and don't just be a social media Christian.
Yes.
I despise a social media Christian because, and I'm not telling you don't share the word and don't, you know, make an impact for the kingdom. And don't, you know, I'm not telling you any of that, but what I'm telling you is when people meet you in person, you should be the same person that you are online. And that is so hard for so many people. And it's like, you can only put on this front and this facade for so long that it's going to come crashing down, right? Mm-hmm. Take the mask off. That's what our pastor has always said. And just live your life in authenticity. I think that's the most important thing, and walk with him. And I think of choosing, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but doing the hard right thing instead of the easy wrong thing when people aren't looking. That's literally the definition of integrity. And I think that's the hardest thing with walking with Christ is like doing the right thing when people aren't watching.
Yeah. And it, again, it goes back to James 4:17. Like, if you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, that is sin. Like that is sin for you. And like, yeah, don't just go to church on Sunday, spend 2 hours with the Lord, and then like not open your Bible, not pray, just do whatever the heck you want, live for the world, live it up, and then go back to Sunday, go back to social media. You are not going to get that clarity. You're not going to receive the revelations of the Lord. You're not going to be living a life that glorifies him if you continue to operate that way. And I think one of the biggest thing is spending time with the Lord. But one of the biggest things is accountability. And the Bible talks about tons of stuff in Proverbs, but I don't have the exact scripture, but it's in Proverbs where they say the fool who gets corrected and then continues in his way. And then the wise person that gets corrected changes. It doesn't literally say that. You have to look it up. But my point is you will get corrected, period. And I think there's so many Christians that they don't think they need correction, or if they get correction, they're offended because they think they're living in such a right way or something. But like, you're going to get corrected. Like you're going to need to be corrected, and it's how you take that correction. And that's why accountability is so important. There's so many things that I think, thankfully, not lately, but in my early years of the church that I'm at now, our pastor has corrected me on many things that I did not see. And that's the thing. That's why accountability is so important, is he would call me out on things and I'm like, it would take me a beat. I would have to be like, I don't see that. Like, I don't think you're correct, but I go back and I think, and then it's like, oh wow. Like, I didn't see this in myself. I would go and pray about it and think about it and process it. And he would be right every single time. But I had a choice to take that, be offended by it, not agree with it, and continue about my way, or go back, pray about it, think about it, process it, and let God open my heart to see, oh man, that wasn't right.
Yeah, like a blind spot checker. We all have blind spots, and we do need people that will hold us accountable to those things that maybe we don't see ourselves. I always say, you know, like confrontation. Drew is always like, Noelle will confront you. And I will, absolutely. But I have noticed lately, especially the generation that we're living in right now, people cannot accept being corrected. And it's so crazy because you can stand on the word, you can stand on the truth, and you can have the purest heart in the correction. And it seems like lately, like people just truly, they can't take it. And rather than doing that, like praying, and like what can happen on the flip side of if you don't pray, if you don't say, oh, like search my heart, Lord, and help me. Like what can happen? You know, people turn. It's like they turn on you and you're the bad guy, or they make you out to be this terrible human because you pointed out something that truly does need correction from the goodness of your heart, you know? And so it's hard. That's hard. Like that accountability is really hard.
And it allows us to course correct before we fall deeper into a trap. Because again, like there's going to be times you're living a certain way that you're blind to. And if you don't course correct, like you're going to fall deeper into sin, further away from the Lord, and you're not even going to know it. There's so many things that are subtle in our lives that creep in, that give Satan a foothold, that continue to pull us further away from the Lord that we cannot see in the moment until it's too late. So, and it's also important to be careful who you get accountability from. Naturally, you don't want to get accountability and listen to the opinions of people who do not have a relationship with Jesus. They might mean well, they might give you the best advice that they can come up with, but does it align with scripture? Does it align with the word of God? Does it align with what you know is right? What Jesus says is right? Probably not. There's going to be a lot of times where that is not good accountability. Right. So like, be careful who you're getting accountability from and be willing to receive that accountability in a way that can challenge your perspective.
So we want to invite you to revive your spirit by meditating on this scripture. It's James 4:17.
We've only said it 80 times.
it's the grand finale. It's the star of the show. And it's, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin.
Think about that, because again, your convictions are not going to be the same. But if you have to ask, if you have to mull it over, like, it is either right or wrong for you. Mm-hmm. Just continue to ask God what to do, and we will catch you guys next time.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate the show, follow us on Instagram, leave a review on Apple, and check out our website, reviveherpodcast.com.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them. And guess what? That's normal.
Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.